Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation, to the Bob Enyart Live Telethon. During our telethon, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special for the Bob Enyart Live Telethon.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some good news, some bad news, and then a stunning update about what's going on in China. The good news is that the Colorado House of Representatives has passed the Colorado Right to Life Bill, the Unborn Victims of Crime Act, and this is a principled bill that does not reinforce abortion, for example, as would be typical in this country today. It is a principled bill. It's great news that it passed the House, and now Colorado Right to Life is going to make an effort to lobby the governor, who's a pro-abortion Democrat, and he'll oppose it, of course, but we'll see what happens. It passed the House on a partisan vote. Also, the bad news. The Denver Broncos signed Peyton Manning, and that's only bad news because we had a quarterback, Tim Tebow, so it's out with the new and in with the old. Actually, if Tebow decides to remain a Broncos quarterback, backup quarterback, then, you know, my sports loyalty will follow him if it's here, if it's to Miami, if it's to the 49ers or wherever. But if he wants to learn from Peyton Manning and John Elway, two of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, then, hey, great. But I think he's been treated badly. But we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date. Now, I've got to welcome to the studio Joe Scott, Sidewalk Counselor, pro-life activist extraordinaire. Joe, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to be here.
Hey, Joe, we're going to do an interview. I've been studying up on this topic, and it turns out in a village in China, in the Daba village, a doctor said his team has been working flat out, beginning sterilizations every day at 8 a.m., and working straight through until 4 a.m. the following day. We find out about this from an organization called Women's Rights Without Frontiers. Who are we welcoming to the show?
Reggie Littlejohn. What an honor.
Reggie, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight to be here.
So, Reggie, we want to talk about your organization, the important work you're doing, what's happening in China. But could you fill us in on the background of this doctor who said that they are performing sterilizations and they're working 20 hours a day doing so?
Well, yes. Actually, this was a very highly publicized campaign in 2010. It happened between April 7th and April 27th of 2010 that Family Planning Police detained 1,300 people in Puning City, Guangdong Province, in a campaign to forcibly sterilize almost 10,000 people.
Oh my.
And the doctors in Daba Village said that they were working from 8 a.m. in the morning to 4 a.m. in the morning, round the clock, to sterilize all these people who were just brought in like sheep
like
or cattle.
Just,
and the very brave local media wrote a story about this that was picked up in the London Times. So
wow.
So it was widely publicized.
Wow.
And what that means, it raises two questions. One of the things that the Chinese Communist Party likes to say is that they are really forced sterilization are illegal, and it's just carried out by local authorities, and they're actually violating the policy. And if that's true, then why didn't the Chinese Communist Party stop this 20-day campaign, which everybody knew about all over the world? So clearly they knew about it.
Right.
And then the second question is that there's a couple of organizations in China, namely the UNFPA, the United Nations Family Planning Fund, and International Planned Parenthood, both of whom say that they're promoting voluntarism in birth control. And if that's the case, then why didn't they jump up and down to say something about this highly publicized forced sterilization campaign?
Yeah, if we hold our breaths waiting for Planned Parenthood to start fighting against China's forced abortion, I think we're all going to die.
Right.
Hey, Reggie, it's so great to talk to you. Reggie Littlejohn, the president of the Women's Rights Without Frontiers. You're saying that the local media publicized this. That took courage, because back in the fall, I had the opportunity to interview Stephen Mosier. I imagine you know about Stephen with the Population Research Institute. He's the guy who 25 years ago went over to China as a pro-choice researcher from, I think it was from Stanford, and he saw what they were doing, this forced abortion, and he began to expose it, and he eventually got expelled from Stanford over trumped-up charges. And that was China exerting their muscle so that we would look the other way and ignore their forced abortion against women and children.
That's right. The one-child policy is just a huge raw nerve for the Chinese Communist Party, and anyone who opposes it is going to get opposed by the party. Steve was the expert that broke this to the world. Now, one of the things that I think it's important for people to understand is what happens to people who are inside of China who try to expose these atrocities. And I'm thinking right now about blind activist Chen Guanchen, who exposed the fact that there were an estimated 130,000 forced abortions and sterilizations just in his city, which is Linyi City in Shandong Province, in 1 year, 2005.
Oh, my.
And he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for that, Time Magazine named him as one of the 100 most influential people in the world, but the Chinese Communist Party had a different view of it. They threw him in jail. He spent 4 years and 3 months in jail. He was tortured, denied medical treatment, and then he came out of jail in September of 2010 and has been under severe house arrest, where he and his wife have continued to be beaten, and they're starved, denied medical treatment, and we're worried that he might die. So that's what happens to people inside of China who try to take on the one-child policy, which is why Women's Rights Without Frontiers is, we feel it's our moral obligation to do this, because we have free speech.
Well, let's talk about his case. I'd like to just back up for a moment. And you have testified at a hearing at Capitol Hill. We have a friend, Ken and Joe Scott, we both have a friend who also testified a few years back, Xu Yan Zhou. She was pregnant, and she had to have an abortion. Her baby was killed in China by the Chinese government officials, who basically took her by force into a hospital, forced her to swallow a pill to begin an abortion process. She did lose her baby. She escaped to this country, testified in Congress also. She has helped us here at Bob and Yurt Live to become aware of the issue. And so we want to do what we can. We feel somewhat helpless. You know, we're half a world away. But this story that you're telling about, this Chen Guangcheng, am I saying that right?
That was perfect.
Okay, Chen Guangcheng, he's a hero in China even, because so many Chinese people hate the government's one-child policy. And he and his wife, they were both beat, because this video was leaked to the West. I only know this thanks to your work. But what do we do? How do we help this couple?
Well, that is a great question, and there are things that you can do. People can go onto my website. That's womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. That's womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org, and there's three things that you can do to help Chen Guanchen. Number one, there's a video on there. It's 3.5 minutes about Chen Guanchen, which I think is the best introduction to his case. You can take that video, you can tweet it, you can put it on Facebook, and just get the word out. Because until people know about him, there's not going to be the political muscle to actually do anything. So
right.
One of the main things that Women's Rights Lab Frontiers is just try to get the word out, and I really appreciate your putting me on the show today so I can do that. The second thing is people can sign a petition, and we've got a petition to free Chengguan Chen that's got over 9,000 signatures from 70 countries, but we'd like it to have 90,000 signatures or 100,000 signatures.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is I'm working in collaboration with people who are trying to free Chengguan Chen from inside of China.
Mm.
They actually contacted me and asked me if I could start an international free Chengguan Chen sunglasses campaign.
Yeah,
because they've done that inside of China. And so now I've done this, and we've got people wearing sunglasses, and they just email a photograph of themselves wearing sunglasses with where they are from. And we've got photographs from five continents, and your name won't go on the photograph. It'll just be a picture of you wearing sunglasses and what your city is and what your country is.
Mm.
And we want to just get this a real visual international outcry going, supporting freedom for Chengguan Chen.
Now, there's a photo of him wearing sunglasses. I'm looking at this article here about International Women's Day and the travesty it is for Chinese women. So tell me the sunglasses part again. It's any sunglasses, right?
Oh, yeah. And the reason that we chose sunglasses is because he always wears sunglasses. I mean, sunglasses
right.
are almost his trademark, and he just wears them all the time
because
he's blind.
Cool.
And so the people in China started this sunglasses campaign, and Chinese nationals wore sunglasses and sent them to this website, and then they contacted me and asked if I could make it go international, which I have.
Well, that's just great. And also the video needs to go viral, too. It's on YouTube. It's at your site. So people, my call screener just put on his sunglasses.
Yeah.
Somebody snap a photo of Russ. Russ is from Alaska, and we'll send that photo in to you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's continue to talk through this problem. We need exposure. You said there were four things. We sign the petition, send in a photo, watch the video.
I'm not sure about the fourth thing. I think that, I mean, you can contact your representatives, but there is not a bill. Actually, there is a bill before Congress attached to the appropriations for the State Department, so that when the State Department budget passes, then this bill supporting Chengguan Chen should pass as well. But you can write to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and ask her to bring up his case in a more powerful way. Vice President Xi from China was in Washington, D.C. last month, and I think that Chen was one of six cases that were brought up privately behind closed doors, but we would like the Secretary of State to take a much, and even the President, to take a stronger stand and to demand that Chen would be free. Then actor Christian Bale last December
went
in and tried to visit Chengguan Chen in Linyi City and was forcibly expelled from the city, and he just did wonders to publicize Chen's case by doing that.
Wow. Well, that does take courage. We have a lot of friends, Christian ministers, who are pro-life personhood advocates, and they go to China frequently.
It's true.
And so Cal Zastro, Joe, I wonder if Cal is aware of Chen's situation.
He is, and his daughter, Corey, is in China right now.
So Corey Zastro is there. Well, that's good to hear. Next time we talk to Cal, we'll bring this up also. I was sitting in a Starbucks, Reggie, and when you log on to the internet through their service, they have their musician of the week, and they have their news story of the day. And the story, in fact, I'm looking at it right now on my computer, and it's also online at prolifeprofiles.com. It's about China's forced abortion program that began 33 years ago. And they point out that in China, there are 120 male births for every 100 girls. Now, I got this from Starbucks. So obviously, this is a very well-known. Years ago, this was considered a rumor. It couldn't be true. But now this is a very well-documented phenomenon that tens of millions of girls are killed because they're girls.
That's right, and I'm just so happy that this has happened. I mean, Women's Rights Without Frontiers took up this issue several years ago, and it has become from an unknown issue to a very well-known issue, and I'm just very, very grateful for that.
Mm.
And because of the traditional preference for boys, girls are selectively aborted. And what that has done is it's led to a situation where there are now currently 37 million more men living in China than women. This gendercide, which is the sex-selective abortion of baby girls, is really the driving force behind human trafficking and sexual slavery, not only within China, but the surrounding nations as well. And I just want to mention that there's a film coming out, a documentary called It's a Girl. It's a Girl.
Yeah.
The reason it's called It's a Girl is because actually the deadliest words in the world are It's a Girl.
Wow.
When the words It's a Girl are uttered, when a woman's having a sonogram, particularly in Asia, more people die from those words than any other words in the world. I've seen estimates anywhere between 60 million and 200 million girls have been selectively aborted because of gendercide, mostly in Asia. China being the number one country and India being the number two country. So just watch for that film, It's a Girl.
It's a Girl. Thank you for telling us about that. So now I need to process some of the things you're saying. A gendercide, that's the intentional killing of girls. And you said there are 37 million more men in China than women. So that obviously is a demographic crisis.
Yes, it is one of two demographic crises that China faces because of the one-child policy. One is 37 million men who are not only marriage age but military age. So what are they going to do with these what they call excess males?
Well,
or
they
bare
can't
branches?
They can't get married, right?
Right. There aren't enough women for them. So what's happening is that women and girls are getting trafficked within China and then also from other countries to basically sort of service these men, either as prostitutes or as forced brides.
Well, and even then, of course, you're creating a vacuum of women in those other countries. So there's simply not enough women to go around when the jihad against children, which is worldwide, when it is killing young girls in out-of-proportion rates. I even hate to say that. It's sick to think of killing kids proportionately,
yeah.
Boys and girls, one boy for every girl. But when they have forced abortion, then families feel like they need a boy to work the family farm or for whatever reason, and they kill these girls, you end up with tens of millions of men who cannot get married, literally, and that's a destabilizing effect in and of itself.
That's right. And then crime is on the rise, and there's a phenomenon that's occurring called bachelor villages, where almost everybody living in a village is male.
Wow.
It's just kind of frightening. I mean, we don't really know where this could lead. But we also, you know, think that where a society becomes more and more male, it becomes more and more militaristic, and this could be a problem, a destabilizing influence not only for China itself, but for the countries that surround it.
Well, right. And talking to Stephen Mosier, he recently went to Moscow, and Russia has a similar crisis. In fact, we're seeing the Islamification of Europe, because Europe, they're not replacing themselves with babies. They've had a war against marriage and a war against children, basically a war against the family, for decades now. And so there truly is a crisis when people set themselves up against God and God creating children and saying that they're innocent and they're made in his image and likeness and they have the right to life because they're made in his image. When we disregard all that, the horror that we are bringing our way, you can't quantify it. You can't guess in advance how bad things are going to be when we disobey God.
And that leads to the other demographic crisis. When you're tinkering with or trying to control population, is the fact that when the one-child policy was instituted 30-odd years ago, there was a population explosion because under the Mao era, Mao had said that he felt that people were the strength of China and encouraged women to have many babies, and so the average fertility rate per woman was 6 children per woman. Then they instituted the one-child policy, and now China is below replacement level. And what's happening is that all the people who were born in the Mao era are now heading towards retirement, and they don't have the young population to support them. I call this, China's senior tsunami. It's a demographic disaster happening in slow motion.
Wow.
And I worry that we might end up seeing some end-of-life issues happening in China as well under these circumstances.
Yeah, well, we're seeing it in Holland, for example, where they now have mobile euthanasia vans. You have the Dutch Medical Association saying that if a person is lonely, that that's a good reason to euthanize them. They're euthanizing handicapped children, adults with Alzheimer's. And so when you have government, any kind of socialist program where the government provides for us, government health care means the government will ration health care and they will decide who's better off dead. And when you have socialism, then they view each person as a mouth to feed rather than an asset. Conservative Christians view each person as an asset. Darwinist socialists, they view each person as a liability. So this town that you mentioned in Guangdong province over in China, Puning City, they wanted to sterilize nearly 10,000 people, men and women, I imagine, because they view people as liabilities. They have to feed them, whereas we were made in God's image and likeness. If you only give people justice and freedom, they will provide for themselves and for many others.
Well, in the case of Puning City in Guangdong province and this forced sterilization campaign, they did it because they wanted to be classified as a second-tier city. And I guess that there are certain privileges that come along with being a second-tier city, but what this shows is that people's promotion, officials' promotion or demotion, is related to whether or not they succeed in achieving family planning quotas. Okay, so that there will be a quota. This is how many abortions that your city needs to have every year. This is how many sterilizations that you need to have. And these are handed down from above. And so that particular city, I think, was behind on its sterilization quotas, and so went out and sterilized 9,500 people, most of them women, which is another thing that's interesting because sterilization on a woman is actually a much more invasive operation than it is on a man. I mean, even though, of course, any man, I would hate to think about it, but for women, I mean, you have to cut through the abdominal wall and really get in there to sterilize a woman. And this is another, I think, form of discrimination against women or violence against women, that they are disproportionately sterilized. And these sterilizations are not carried out by highly trained gynecological surgeons. They're just carried out by anybody, you know, who's available, especially out in the countryside. And women get massive infections, and it ruins their reproductive health, and it ruins their general health. And so I say to those organizations that say that they care about women's reproductive health and women's reproductive rights, how come they aren't jumping up and down about systematic forced sterilization in China?
Reggie, in those cities that are sterilizing these women en masse, do they have like a limit on the population they want in that city? And so in order to keep that population at that limit, that's why they're sterilizing these women? So that they can get their government rations?
The cities, it's not just a matter of a population limit, like this is how many people can live here, but they actually have quotas for the number of sterilizations that are expected and the number of abortions that are expected. And somebody from the Congressional Executive Commission on China in 2009 testified that there was one city in Fujian province where they evaluated officials on the basis of hitting birth control targets, but they gave them points for certain procedures. And you got 1 point for an early abortion, 2 points for a midterm abortion, I think it was even 3 points for a late-term abortion, which would give them an incentive to let a woman carry the baby close to term and then abort it.
Wow. And in fact, abortions, forced abortions, late-term in the third trimester happen. They are somewhat common. And if you think of the horror, Reggie Littlejohn, it's hard to comprehend. The horror of a woman being violated in such a way that the governing officials are taking her by force and they're literally killing her own child within her body. How could there be anything more horrific than that? I just can't wrap my mind around the horror of it.
Yeah, people cannot wrap their minds around it. And then I would just suggest for people to go onto my website and see my four-minute video called Stop Forced Abortion, China's War on Women. And I tell the story in there about one of these forced abortions. I think it's important for people to try to understand what's going on in China because we need to do something about it.
I read that you said that China has the highest rate of female suicide anywhere.
Exactly. That's right. And I think that those are related things. And you say you can't even wrap your mind around the horror of it. I think that that's one of the reasons that women are killing each other. According to the World Health Organization, 500 women a day end their lives in China.
Well, we mentioned Planned Parenthood. Oh, and what a horrific statistic, 500. And typically, suicide is a male-dominated phenomenon, like rush hour. But when liberals get their way, you know, they want to feminize the prisons and rush hour traffic and suicide. They want everything to be equal, and they're working on it there in China. We complain that Planned Parenthood never started their war for choice in China. They can comfortably coexist with China doing forced abortions for the next 33 years. So can NARAL. But tragically, Reggie Littlejohn, we have a lot of Christian leaders who have been silent. And even worse, I wish Pat Robertson had remained silent. There's a profile of him online at prolifeprofiles.com. He was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, and he actually supported China's forced abortion. He said, forced abortion, they're doing what they have to do in China. I don't think the United States needs to interfere. And that's where that Starbucks report is right there as a footnote to that quote. And that's by the 700 Club founder and host, Pat Robertson.
With friends like that, you don't need enemies.
Yeah. Well, and then there's not only that, but Ted Turner has been saying for years that he thinks that the entire world should have a one-child policy. And then last year there was a former executive of Planned Parenthood who said that he thought that the world should have a one-child policy.
Reggie, you were about to say, I think, something about that quote from Pat Robertson. Had you heard that before?
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether that is his current stand.
Well, I wish. I tell you, this profile is up to date of him at Pro-Life Profiles, but let's hope he changes. Hey, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll link to your work. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so very much for having me. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.